Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow, God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Storms are brewing, but don't you panic. We are your storm shelter. This is Wretched Radio. If you check your theological forecast, you'll notice there's a front moving into Dallas, Texas, and it's predicted to descend on a convention center between June 8th and June 11th as the Southern Baptist Convention gets together to convene their convention. They need a new name. I don't want to tell the Southern Baptists what to do. Well, I'm going to, but I don't want to tell them what. The Southern Baptist Convention.
That's it.
It just doesn't work. They either need to change the name of their organization or their meeting. But I just, could somebody make a resolution on that? Which is exactly what's going to happen, which is exactly why there could be a bit of a brouhaha in Dallas, Texas. I think one of the big issues, of course, is going to be the issue of the role of women in the church. Did you see, incidentally, was it the New York Times, I believe, did a piece. It was a video piece, which is kind of weird. It's like, stay in your lane, NYT. You write. Not well. Well, actually, they do have good writers. They just have really wonky worldviews. This was a video presentation on the Southern Baptist Convention, and it featured Tom Askell in Florida from the Founders Ministry. And by the way, speaking of Florida, hello to everybody in Florida. We're tickled pink. That would be a Southern phrase, because I don't think Florida considers itself to be the South per se. Or did I just step into kind of a big mess right there? We are thrilled to pieces that we get to be in Orlando, Ocala, and Gainesville, WIWA, WRZ. See, Jimmy, this is why
you need me.
I could never be a radio professional.
You need some help.
Yeah, I do. You have no idea. WRZN, WTMN, and WIWA. That's a mouthful right there. See,
you gotta say
this is free for the people running WIWA. You need to change your name too. I'm just here to help. The Southern Baptist Convention is going to be meeting to discuss the New York Times hit piece. Tom Askell, basically. It was the story of Tom Askell, who is a conservative, who believes that 1 Timothy 2:12 says exactly what 1 Timothy 2:12 says. Not because God is sexist, not because Christians are misogynist. It's because the Bible provides the rules that we need for the orderly running of the church. We already have enough infighting inside of the local church. Who gets to do what? Who gets the biggest vote? Who's in the power position? If God did not settle it for us, there would be nothing but squabbling over who's going to be the pastor, the senior pastor, the preaching pastor, the teaching pastor. The debate and the battle between men and women would just be out of control. So God settled it. We complement one another. The role of elder is reserved for males. It is not because women are lesser than. It is for the sake of orderliness and the expression of giftedness. I know the world doesn't say that we're different, but last time I checked, we actually are. And men do certain things well, women do certain things well, that the other gender doesn't do so goodly, and we complement one another. On the other hand, Tom Askell's position was poorly represented. There was a woman who was a pastor in a Southern Baptist church that the Southern Baptist Convention at their last meeting decided you're no longer in conformity with the Baptist faith and message. Therefore, you are no longer a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. And the piece was put together to make us, of course, very sympathetic for the woman and to kind of portray Tom Askell as nothing but a deer hunting, gun shooting misogynist. He comported himself very well, but it was nevertheless a hit piece. Why? Well, because the Southern Baptist Convention in Dallas, June 8th through 11, they're going to be dealing with egalitarianism, complementarianism, the role of women in the church. That is, unfortunately, that's a perennial battle. I wish they'd put that to bed for the safety of the Southern Baptist Convention. But now another issue, not brand new, but perhaps it's gaining more steam than it has in the past. The debate over the ERLC. This is the Political Action Committee arm of the Southern Baptist Convention. Based in Washington, D.C., they engage in politics. They meet with different power people to discuss issues of interest, specifically Christian liberty, freedom of religion. I think they also focus on the life issue, and they are funded through, of course, the Southern Baptist Convention to the tune of millions of dollars. And increasingly, there are a number of people saying it's time to pull the plug on the ERLC. Ooh, that's kind of a big play, because the ERLC has been around. Well, Richard Land used to be the head of the ERLC, and he was doing that for years. Russell Moore, that's probably when a lot of the controversy began, when he took it over and then started to act all Cyndi Lauper and show us his true colors. People started to question the efficacy of the ERLC. Is this thing really doing anything? Well, that debate is going to take place. It appears, this is according to different stories that I'm reading, there's a number of them that talk about the upcoming brouhaha that's likely to take place. About 40% of the messengers are in favor of saying adios to the ERLC. Recently, 10 of the last 11 presidents of the Southern Baptist Convention said, we need to keep the ERLC. It was Jack Graham. Yeah. Oh, Jimmy, is he Houston? I think, is that where Jack Graham? We did an event at his church so many years ago. And I remember he wore cowboy boots. He was sitting right in the front row. I was speaking on repentance, the actual meaning of repentance. And he was sitting right to my right. And he had cowboy boots on. And I remember thinking, he could beat me up. He could. And I'd end up being tied up in barbed wire. I don't know. He looked really Texas, is what I'm trying to say. And he's the only fellow who said, we need to be saying that it's time to put an end to the ERLC. Jimmy, what church is he at in Texas?
Prestonwood Baptist That's it. Church.
Yeah. What town is that in?
That is in...
Excellent work.
Plano, Texas.
There it is. I'm going to be in Plano, Texas.
Are you?
At the end of June.
Wow.
I wish I had been there for the Southern Baptist. They wouldn't let me in. I think you got to actually be a Southern Baptist. But I would have loved to have gone to that. Get to be in Plano. It's a burb. It's a burb of Dallas, Texas, is where Prestonwood is. It's a mega church. And he was the only president to say he's not digging what's going on. Since the Russell Moore era, there has been inconsistencies. I think that's fair to say from the ERLC, what it is that they're for, what it is that they're against. I think one of the issues was the Nashville shooting. When it came out that there was legislation then to deal with assault rifles, that the ERLC actually jumped onto that bandwagon to say, yeah, we need to work on gun legislation, as opposed to focusing on, hello, that was a Christian school. Then these people were attacked specifically because of their beliefs. Now it was gender issues and sexuality issues, but nevertheless, it was a Christian school that was attacked, and they were mum on that. And so a lot of Southern Baptists started to say, sup, and how much are we spending to fund the ERLC? I would like to resolve the tension for you, my Southern Baptist friends. Not that you should cancel your trip to Dallas, but it seems to me that there's a fundamental question that I think should be pondered for the Southern Baptists that are wondering, what do we do with the ERLC? And I would not focus on how effective it is or isn't. I would be asking the question, is this what a Christian denomination is supposed to be doing? Now, believe me, some people would make some pretty strong arguments to say, yeah, I think most of them ultimately would be rather pragmatic. For instance, hey, if we don't have religious liberty, we ain't gonna be able to have our churches to proclaim the gospel and minister to people. Fair enough. I get that. I also see that they are defenders of the life issue. So far, I think they've been consistent on gender issues, marriage issues. And have they had an impact or an effect? And the answer is, well, I don't know. I'm sure the folks at the ERLC would say they have. I suspect others would say not so much. In fact, I read a lengthy article, I believe in the Federalist, which said they haven't been effective. In fact, there are some people who commented that they're really, when they were in Washington, they never even heard from the ERLC. All right, how do I know? The answer is I don't. But I don't think that's the question that resolves the issue. The question is, what is the mission of the church as assigned to us by our master? And Jesus Christ, before he left the planet and ascended into heaven, said, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. That's the direct command. That is his mission. When he said, this is my time, it was the centerpiece of his mission, and that was to die for sinners. And then he instructs us to go and make disciples. And so if you're a Southern Baptist and you're debating, what do we do with this? Ask the question and answer it for yourself. What is the mission of the church? This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's remarkable? Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, three of them in the top 2%. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Glosson, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app, completely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org because we truly believe the church deserves better.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Master's University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Master's University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You remember when you first discovered solid biblical teaching? It was the moment when the door swung open and everything changed in your life. What if we could fling those doors wide open for everyone, everywhere? Later this year, we're unveiling something unprecedented, and that's why we need you now. More than ever before. Through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled through our matching grant. Visit FortisInstitute.org/truth before June 30th because truth, well, it was never meant to have barriers. FortisInstitute.org/truth. So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Download it right now where you download your apps or just go to fortisplus.org because what feeds your mind shapes your life. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. But what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Know your church fathers. Basil of Caesarea was the bishop of Caesarea in the 4th century. He was a defender of orthodoxy and wrote several important works, proving the divinity of the Holy Spirit and refuting the Arian heresy. Most importantly, he introduced the Trinitarian formula, describing God as one being and three persons. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Just standing here on my heels because I just got hit like a speed bag. This is Wretched Radio because apparently I did not give the call letters of our new stations in Florida correct enunciation.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
Radio it up.
My W's were not satisfactory for you. That's why I'm telling you this WIWA business. That's got to change.
I am
sending a strongly worded letter to Scott Miller to tell him to get on this. WRZN and WTMN.
There you go.
I have a hard time with call letters. I remember years and years ago. This was so dreadful. It was KDWB. It was a top 40 station, and the program director asked me if I would be willing to consider being, well, what we used to call a disc jockey. And I could not say KDWB. See, I can't even do it now.
KDWB.
I had to say it like Katie, like the name Katie, because I've, for some reason, KDWB. So not only was it my enunciation, Friel, we couldn't care less about your speaking capabilities. It was my technical lack of skills. I could not figure out which button to push, which cartridge to push, how you fade it up and ramp it down.
And that's never changed.
And well, now I'm back on my heels again. And here I was actually giving you a compliment because you were a disc jockey.
I was.
And you spun the disc. You were able to pull all of that together.
Yeah.
You sounded a little something like this.
Q93.5. That was Bonnie Raitt. It was something to talk about.
That was day one.
On before that with The Look. Hey, what's going on, West Tennessee? Handsome Jimmy back along with you, and I'm back to wrap up this 9 o'clock hour.
How do I turn this off?
You don't know.
Day today. Hey, we've had a great time, and we've heard a lot of great music. I hope you'll join me again next Sunday morning, straight up 7 o'clock. I'll be right back in here to do it all over again. Right now, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Train, the Pointer Sisters, and Whitney Houston.
Pointer Sisters, and Whitney Houston. You want to know what wormhole? Friel, get back to business. The wormhole that I fell down was Whitney Houston singing the national anthem from 19 whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And these were people responding to it from different countries. These are those review videos where they watch an artist probably for the first time and then they react. They're pretty popular. And it was Whitney Houston. And so it was people from New Zealand, Great Britain, and all over the globe. And I couldn't stop listening to them while I was, I don't want to say I was at the gym because it's so obvious that I go so regularly. And I couldn't, that woman's voice was so staggeringly powerful. And the dynamic range of it from soft and tender and the falsetto, it was, wow. And every time I hear Whitney Houston sing, I get a little sad. She was so talented. What a bummer that was. And you used to spin her discs.
I did.
Because you could enunciate and handle the technical skills, which I have zero ability to do. Thrilled to pieces to be on those three stations in Florida.
WIWA.
That's how you say it. That's how you got to say it.
You just, like you took some sort of radio boy pill and just kicked that in gear. Al Mohler weighed in on the ERLC issue, whether or not the Southern Baptists should continue funding the ERLC. And he actually said, it's not all that effective. This is what he said on a podcast, an SBC podcast. He said he had grave doubts about the usefulness of the ERLC, that having an entity that addresses controversial culture issues is a risky proposition. It is that, especially these days, not so much in days gone by, but I would say within the last decade or so, political issues, oofta. We're fighting on our side. We don't just fight against liberals. We just go to war against one another. They are contentious issues. They're hot button issues. And how you're even supposed to speak about some of these issues, or more specifically, some of these politicians, woo, it can just explode relationships. And so I think Al Mohler is onto it, but I still return to the same point. What's the point of the church? What's the mission of the church? Question. How much would you say a soul was worth? Well, Jesus answered the question for us, didn't he? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? So your soul is more valuable than the whole world. How much money would we be willing to pay for a soul? And what if all of the money, I'm just asking the question, that goes to, I'll move this away from the SBC because I do not want to sound critical of the SBC. We should all be grateful for the SBC, whether you are Southern Baptist or not. We want that denomination strong. We want all small O Orthodox denominations strong. And it, let me tell you, if the Southern Baptist Convention gets all wobbly and liberal, look out. That, that you will feel that effect in this country. So I'm very pro SBC, but if the money that has gone to a particular non-Great Commission aspect of your ministry could be funneled toward the Great Commission and one person got saved, wouldn't that be worth it? Wouldn't that be worth it? And I suppose you could argue and say that, well, the ERLC, it makes for those opportunities because if we don't have religious liberty, we won't be able to share the gospel. Well, historically, that actually isn't accurate because historically, the gospel has flourished just fine, thank you very much, where there is actual persecution, where Christian blood is shed. It's the seedbed of the church. In China right now, it is, I just heard, you can disregard this source. Francis Chan was saying that there's 100 million Christians that are worshiping in house churches in China. So I understand the importance of Christian liberty. I want it too. Religious freedom is a very big deal. And we love that and we're grateful for that, but we didn't have it. I'm still sharing the gospel. All right, you're gonna you put me in a detention center, I'm sharing the gospel. The guards that perhaps want to beat my feet, I'm sharing the gospel because that's our mission. And I just keep coming back to the fundamental question, what is the mission of the church? And I think that is the one that if I were encouraging any Southern Baptist messenger to consider, and I think that will cause you to answer the question. If the mission of the church is soul winning, expanding the kingdom of God, where should our time, our energy, and our resources go? And as we go about the business of speaking to the culture about cultural issues, might I suggest that we do them as Christians, that we make actual Christian declarations and proclamations. For instance, I'm going to keep the fellow's name out of it. This is somebody that's speaking for the ERLC, talking about the issue of pornography. And this is good. You like this idea? There, Southern Baptist ERLC is saying it's time to make pornography illegal. We need to ban pornography. And to that I say, amen. Because wow. I don't know if you read the New York Times article about the disclosures of the memos at Pornhub and of these other grotesque organizations. They are not interested in protecting children. Nevertheless, here's some of the quotes. Pornography isn't merely immoral, said this spokesperson. It's exploitative. It's violent. It's corrosive to relationships, harmful to children, toxic to a culture that claims to value consent, freedom, and human dignity. Nothing in that statement is wrong, but nothing in that statement was Christian. Nothing in that statement could have not been made by a rabbi or an imam or a Buddhist monk. What is the name of a, do they have a religious person that practices Buddhism? We need to be speaking like Christians. Pornography is against God's law. Pornography corrupts image bearers, that we are made in the image of God. And he's not smutty. He's not dirty. And we shouldn't be either. Therefore, this abusive, horrid industry called pornography, it is a violation of God's laws. It will be judged by him. And our encouragement is that everybody in that industry, whatever role you play, repent, believe in Jesus Christ, and you better do it now, because if you die in your sin, you will be judged and you will be damned. But Jesus is willing to save you, you pornographer. He's willing to offer you terms of peace. Settle with him today. Now that's speaking Christianly. And if we're going to be speaking in Washington as a Christian representative, then we better be speaking Christianly. This spokesperson said, this isn't about nostalgia for a bygone era or imposing religious rules on secular society. Well, I agree. We don't impose religious rules, but we need to speak like we're a religious people, not merely political participants trying to be a voice clamoring to get our way. If we are going to be in Washington, D.C., and I say props to everybody who is a missionary there, and if your mission field happens to be politics, we must sound different than a political action committee. We must sound like the church, and our goal must be the goal of our master, the Great Commission. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.